I bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah 41. In verse 8, the Word of God says, "But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend." The descendants of my friend. A lot of what God did for Israel was because Abraham was God's friend. You can understand this. Perhaps a man or a woman may have children, and one of them goes home to be with God, and their friend remains. And though the children didn't know the friend necessarily, yet the friend keeps an eye on the children. And maybe later in life, when something takes place, the friend will help the children for the sake of his friend. David did this also. Jonathan was his friend. Mephibosheth received great benefit from David for the sake of Jonathan, David's friend. For the sake of Abraham, Israel has received a great many blessings, has been well taken care of by God, even though at times they had to be disciplined, because Abraham was God's friend. Then in Proverbs 17:17, the Word of God says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." A friend loves at all times. Sometimes we consider someone to be our friend. Or maybe we'll say, "I'm that person's friend." The question that I have is, if this is a friend, do they love at all times? And by love, I don't mean, are they affectionate? Affection is more along the lines of the word phileo in the Greek. This here is more along the lines of agape. A friend is long-suffering in its patience and kind, doesn't seek his own, doesn't think evil at all times. The friend is not tempted to think evil. The friend is not tempted to think of themselves above their friend at all times. A friend will be patient at all times, kind at all times. A friend loves at all times. Now, that word there is Ahab, and is a co-active participle. That means that it's the friend who's producing the loving, and it is not just that he loves, generally speaking, it's that he is loving at all times. So yes, he loved, continues to love, and this is the habit of a person who is a friend. They are patient, they are kind, they don't seek their own, they will not think evil. They'll stay with you. The whole nine yards that incorporates biblical friendship takes place at all times. But then it says a brother is born for adversity, and that's a niphal imperfect. The word is yalad, and it literally means to be born. And it's not the word for in the original language. For and in are actually the same word. A brother is born in adversity. How does a friend go to becoming a brother? Adversity. What do you do when your friend finds adversity? This is a big question. What do you do when your friend finds adversity? There are friends who will stay very close. There are friends who will not believe evil. There are friends who will remain faithful. There are friends who will always be kind. You see, when adversity comes, that is what takes your friendship into a kinship. That is where it's really tested, in adversity. What is your response in adversity? Now, the adversity may be outward or it may be inward. What is your response in adversity? Abraham believed God and he was called a friend of God in James 2:23. Do you believe regarding your friend? Believing regarding your friend is really the same thing as keeping Christ between you and me. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born when adversity takes place. Now, when we say about the word brother, that word literally means children of the same father or parent. This is why we cannot have friends apart from those who are believers. Now, don't misunderstand when I say that. I'm not saying that we cannot be kind to people like that. I'm not saying that we cannot be patient with them. I'm not saying that we cannot be loving toward people like that. We certainly can and ought to be. What I am saying is that only a believer can take on the status of a friend. Why? Because only a believer can have a give-and-take exchange. You cannot have a give-and-take exchange of the same kingdom with someone who's an unbeliever. I know to some people perhaps listening, this could be very harsh. It sounds very difficult. But it's not. It's actually very kind. If I were to treat an unbeliever like he was the same type of a friend as a believer, would I win that person to Christ? If I were to treat an unbeliever with the same thought as I treat a believer, what would happen regarding kingdoms? What would happen regarding the need of that person? What would happen regarding the yoking with that person? You cannot treat an unbeliever the same way as a believer. That does not mean we treat them harshly, quite the opposite. In many cases, that means that we're exceptionally kind to them. Perhaps more so, even, than we would be otherwise, because we are trying to win them to Christ. Now here's the thing. If the Lord is going to be between me and you, it has to be in true friendship. And I'll tell you why. Because Jesus said that whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Whatever my attitude, whatever my words, whatever my expression is toward you, it's also that to Christ. A friend loves at all times. There's one other point that needs to be made before we get past the introductory part of this. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. The King James rendition of this is not very good. That is not what it says in the original language. We can understand why we would say somebody who wants friends has to be friendly, because who's going to be friends with an unfriendly person? But here's the point of this. It's not talking about a friendly person. And it's not saying it's good to have many friends. It's actually saying the opposite. Friendly is the word rawa. It's a hithpoel infinitive. Hithpoel is a causative reflexive. In other words, it points back to the person and it's a causative action. And what it's talking about is literally the meaning to be bad or evil, to break. If we were to rephrase that sentence more along lines of the original meaning, we would say, a man of many companions is so to his own destruction. A man of many companions is so to his own destruction. And you can see how this would work. A man of many companions is so to his own destruction. It's not that it's good to have so many friends. To tell you the truth, if you have a friend in life, one or two, you've had a lot. A real friend is difficult to find. There's plenty of people who will say to you quite sincerely, I'm your friend. Or there's plenty of people who feel quite sincerely that they are the friends of others. But when the meanings break down and the choices come, when decisions have to be made, there's really very few friends. Have you ever met somebody who's always kind? Always patient. I don't mean that they're a perfect human being. Nobody's a perfect human. But I mean as a lifestyle. Have you ever met somebody who is kind as a lifestyle? Have you ever met somebody who you're always a little bit careful around because you don't know what's going to happen? I think we've all met people like that many times in our lives. You see, not everybody will make the decisions to be a friend. If you have a friend, you have a lot. Friends are hard to come by. If you have a friend, you have a lot. If you have a friend who'll stick with you when things are difficult, you have a lot. You actually have somebody who now shares a kinship with you. And the idea behind that kinship is that it's immovable. You cannot change who your brother is. You may like your brother, you may dislike your brother, but you cannot change who your brother is. That was given to you. It's the same kind of an idea. A friend that is born in adversity is immovable. They will always be there. They will always love you. They will always love you in truth, patience and kindness, not thinking evil. There are scandals all over the news right now. But it makes me wonder when I hear some of these scandals, where has friendship gone? How quickly people turn. How quickly an accuser comes, and perhaps the accusation is true and perhaps it is not. Nobody really knows except a very small number of people. But how quickly people will accept what others say that is negative. And they act on it to the point where they would destroy people's lives based on what hearsay gave them. Those are not friends. Friendship nowadays is virtually non-existent. And it's so true to the point where if you live in Washington, D.C., they even have that joke. If you live in Washington and you want a friend, get a dog. That is a horrible, horrible joke because it reflects some element of truth. What has happened to friends? We think we're getting sophisticated, we're not. We're more and more in our society entering into barbarism, entering into hatred, entering into tribal mentalities, because we don't know what it means to be a friend. Friendship is difficult to find. Friendship is superficial and fleeting in our society. So much so that someone who's supposed to be a friend, a single negative word, and all of a sudden the friendship is over. They will not stick closer than a brother born in adversity. Adversity is there to deepen friendships. It's interesting how many people forgo reigning with Christ. Because they refuse to be a friend. The Word of God says, they that suffer with Christ shall reign with Him. You get somebody, maybe an evangelist, maybe a pastor, maybe somebody simply on their job who has a good testimony of Christ. How many believers, many in fact, believers experience this? Their testimony draws people's ire. They become angry with them. And they begin attacking them. And these people stay faithful and they stay true and they continue and they're still who they have always been in the midst of all the unpleasantness. Such a person is accumulating tremendous rewards in heaven. Such a person will reign with Christ. However, the Word of God also says that if I receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, I will receive that prophet's reward. I get the same reward. If I am a friend to someone in adversity, then the reigning that they are given as a result of that adversity is also given to me. Adversity is not simply I'm the one who's facing the difficulty. Adversity is also I will stand with the one who is receiving the difficulty. That is adversity as well. People reign for that as well. Yet today's mentality, especially in this hyper-touchy, hypersensitive society, that if you even look at somebody incorrectly, it must be some kind of evil going on in their perception. To the point where people should have their lives, careers, families, what have you, destroyed with impunity. Not caring one ounce for the person themselves. It's a disgusting little society we live in. And the things that are happening in the political world, for example, is a disgusting little reality with great aid from a disgusting, for the most part, media. They are not friends. They don't intend to be. But they don't have the love of God either. All of these things for those people who are abused by it will translate to rewards. John 15:13. The greatest love there is to lay down your life for your friend. And by laying down your life, it's not so much talking about a single event as in death. It's talking about laying down your life as a lifestyle. The greatest love there is to lay down your life for your friend. Jesus said in verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Do you see what he's saying here? He's saying, I'm calling you my friends. God is proclaiming His acceptance of us as friends. Do you believe, and ask yourself this carefully, do you believe that God is your friend? Or do you believe that He is an omnipotent spirit removed from you, not theologically, but practically? Or do you believe He is your friend? He says He is your friend. That means that a friend loves at all times. And a brother is born in adversity. God loves you at all times. Understand this. God loves you at all times. You can be at your very worst, and God will love you, and it will not change. He will be patient and He will be kind. He won't look at you according to the things you are doing and think evil of you. How many people believe that God will think evil of them based on their performance or what they do? And they're actually afraid to come to God because they think He will think evil of them. And if He thinks evil of them, then of course something bad is going to happen to them. God doesn't think evil of you. He's your friend. He loves at all times. God's not touchy regarding you. People may be touchy, but people are not friends. God is a friend you will have at all times. Because He will not leave you and He will not forsake you. Because in Jeremiah 29:11, He knows the thoughts that He thinks toward you, that they are thoughts of peace and not of evil. These are thoughts to give you an expected end. What is your expectation of God? God will stay with you in adversity. He will be immovable. As though He were of one parent with you, and in fact, Christ is of one parent with you. God will love you at all times. Let that sink in. God will love you at all times. Do you get it? God will love you at all times. Had a bad day? God will love you at all times. Were you cruel today? God will love you at all times. Something terrible happened today? God will love you at all times. He is your friend. And that means He will love you at all times. He's not the kind who will run away from you when others do. He will love you at all times. Meditate on that. Masticate it. God will love you at all times. God is your friend. Don't be familiar like He's a co-worker who you see for a few hours a day, then you walk away and they really don't make all that much difference. He created you. He indwells you. And He will love you at all times. The Word of God says in verse 14, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." God is a friend to you. Let me ask you this. Are you a friend to God? Do you love God at all times? Are you patient and kind with God at all times? You see, people say sometimes, why would I have to be patient and kind with God? Because He will bring adversity. And why will God bring adversity? And we can think of all kinds of reasons, but one of the reasons for the adversity is because a brother is born in adversity. It's to draw you near to Him to the point where you are immovable with Him. Are you immovable with God? Are you patient with God? When things don't go your way, when prayer doesn't get immediately answered, where you're not feeling good, are you patient with God? How often do we accuse God of not being who He is because we're not patient with God? God has this amazing plan for our lives, and He says, "Be patient with me so my plan can be played out in your life in the fullest of measures." And we say, "I want it done yesterday." Be a friend to God. You want your Christianity worth something? Be a friend to God. That requires choices. Decisions are what make us God's friends. These decisions are eternal. These decisions will decide how close we will be to God for all of eternity. There is a tree of life in the midst of the garden. Not everybody will receive it. Some people will eat it, some people will not. And those that do receive special revelations from God. In heaven, that tree is there. But not everybody gets to partake of it. It's based on their decisions. Now, being God's friend was not necessarily the safest thing to be. A friend of Jesus could get himself killed, but then a brother is born in adversity. You know, I think in our culture we're too soft. We let everything get in our way. I don't feel good. It gets in my way. Had a bad day, gets in my way. I'm tired today, gets in my way. Kid has the sniffles, gets in my way. All these things were too soft. You know why we're soft? Because we made a decision to be. We won't stand with God. A brother is born in adversity and a friend loves at all times. Is that your attitude toward God? It doesn't have to be. You'll still be saved. But I'm telling you right now, if it's not, your loss is profound. Now, here's one thing more about that. Because the Word of God says, in Matthew 25:40, what you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. How you are toward God is how you are to another believer. What is your attitude there? Do you love God? Then love believers. Do you love God? Then be patient and kind. Not for the sake so much of those believers, but because you love God. It translates into something. Your decisions translate into something. So the question is, will you be a friend? By this men shall know that you are my disciples in John 13:35, that you love one another. Do you love God? I'll tell you now, without a little bit of guts, without a little bit of self-discipline, without a little bit of mental fortitude, you won't love God. Because adversity is real. Because patience is required. Because kindness comes in the face of need. And if I'm somebody who cares about how I'm feeling today, then it will be very difficult for me to love people and to love God. We love because He first loved us, but that's not how it's written in the original. In the original it says, we love because He loves. You see, to love God is to be one with Him. In Ephesians 2:15-16. To lay down your life for your friend. On a habitual basis, for the sake of your friend, you lay down your life and you love your friend. Do you love God? Well, He loves you. And if you love Him, then let that overflow. Because you do it unto Him. But in any case, He will still love you. He will still be your friend. He will still stay with you in adversity. And He will not be moved until His reflection of friendship shows up in you. Then ultimately, unless you harden your heart, you will be God's friend. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, if you would like to go to heaven when you die, and know without any question in your mind, based in the Word of God, He gave it to you as a gift. So simply thank Him for that gift. Pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. I accept Your gift. I accept Your mercy. Save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. Amen.